speaking to Muriel Carpenter-Saunders and Novella Scribner-Burnside, and we are going to talk about the history of the Carpenters and a little bit about Rath's history. I am doing this on the 28th day of August. It's a Monday, 1989, and I have both of your permission to take this. Is that correct?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Okay. Muriel Carpenter-Saunders, could you give me a brief description on how the Carpenters first came, where they came from, and when they first came to Rossing?
Do you want from England or
England?
Well, they came from Amesbury in England to Oyster Island and the Oyster Bay area of New York. And during the American Revolution, Archelaus Carpenter looked after probably 200 or more people who did not want to fight with the Americans and hid them on his property. Eventually, they were discovered. Everything they had was confiscated, and they were ordered to leave the country. Thence, the Loyalists. They settled the Washtenawak area and at various places along the St. John River. And there are still their descendants in the same area today. One of the Carpenter families settled on the north side of the Washtenawak, Pickett's Cove. That's our line of the family. That's Ephraim Carpenter.
How is he related to you?
Well, he would have been my great-great-grandfather.
Okay. Now, what progressed from there? He had, now, tell me about your family, direct family, your father, your father's father, and all the children you can remember. Like, you know, or if there's too many cousins, you know, just a brief
response. My father's grandparents moved to Gondola Point and lived there for a number of years. Then my father's father moved with his family down to be caretaker of the dam at Rossay. That entailed seeing that there was no mess around there, no wood chop, nothing of any consequence put on the ice and the pond which supplied the town of Rossay, then the village of Rossay, with its water, and seeing that it was kept clean.
Okay, now how are you two related?
We are first cousins.
I see. So what branch of the family, how did you branch out from her family?
Oh. My father, his brother, married Blanche Carpenter. We're really closer than just cousins. So we are, first cousins, Muriel and myself. Hmm.
Parents all left Rossay and moved to St. John at one time.
Yes, they did. They all left Rossay and moved to St. John.
Yeah,
well, then they moved. And then they moved back to Rossay.
I see. Some years later.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents moved back to Rossay first. There were a number of Carpenter cousins who went to St. John to work and live for some years. That's where my parents met.
Well, that's a pretty good history. All right. Now. You were born in this very room. This is Mrs. Novella.
Burnside. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was born in this house in this very room we're sitting in. But back then, it wasn't as large as what it is now. It was about 8 feet or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they tell me. I don't remember.
I see.
But Dr. Peters did say, my, your father must have been busy on weekends.
We were all, us girls were born on a Sunday. Was that it, Muriel?
I don't know.
Sort of wind-wise, yeah. But we were all born on Sundays.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of unique, isn't it? Well, and you're probably blessed by God. What do you think?
Oh, blessed for somebody.
Okay. Now I'm going to throw some things at you. Were either of you sailors at all? Did you ever go out sailing on the river?
No.
No.
No, no. Didn't have that opportunity.
Okay. What about winter sports on the river and winter travel and ice fishing? Did you ever skate or ice fish or?
Oh, yes. I've been ice fishing at Rossi and Renforth. And I, different times, took trips across the ice on a set of bobsleds and horses, and later by truck with loads of hay coming from the Kingston Peninsula direction. And beyond that would be the Belial, Hog Island and the marshes up that way. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Any funny stories you can remember about going skating, or any funny things that you would do, or anything that you would be annually?
Not skating on the Kennebecases, skating mostly at the village of Rossi's supplied the skating rink down here at, pardon me, at Rossi.
Oh, yes.
Where the little cabin is now. There was a caretaker down there. George Dobbin, I believe, was the caretaker of the skating rink and kept everybody in line and no shenanigans. You came there to skate. So, yeah. But now we've had fishing shacks down at Rossi and down at Renforth.
What type of fish would you catch?
Smelt. Smelt. I'd been after my old man to take me out hake fishing, but he said it's too cold out there. Mm-hmm.
And over the years, how has the fishing changed in quantity? Have you gotten to...
The hake fishing has gone away down in that I've heard them tell, you know, the hake were, what, 30 inches long or more, and as big as, well, you can put your fingers together, your thumb and your first, second fingers. Big hake, but now they're lucky if you get one 12, 15 inches long, and, well, a little bit bigger than your thumb and second finger put together. Yeah. So, yes, they're going down.
Is that because of overfishing, do you think?
No, there's not many people out there that fish hake, but I suppose they're out in the Bay of Fundy and they're being, you know, harvested out. I suppose, yes. Yeah, definitely.
Now...
We're, you know, going through the ice with...
Mr. McFarland.
McFarland.
This is rumored.
Yes, yeah. Well, not actually rumored, but talked about, you know, by the older people. Yeah, that he had gone through the ice with a team of horses, and I can't even remember if anyone drowned or not. No. But there was a Saunders boy, wasn't there, Muriel, around... the wartime that drowned over off the minister's face. Was he duck hunting?
No. He was headed over in the boat to help them hay over there somewhere.
Oh, he was probably on the island green.
And what was
green?
Edward Saunders, isn't it?
Edward Saunders.
Of course, you know, Glooskap's supposed to be hiding out on the minister's face.
Who?
Glooskap.
And now that? I haven't heard that one.
Oh, you don't know Glooskap?
Tell me this story.
Oh. He was an Indian chief who presumably stayed up the St. John River. And years and years ago, the gorge is not as wide as it is. It was very narrow, and this spring they got a huge freshet. so there wasn't very much water running through. So somebody summoned Glooskap to come and do something about it. So the beavers had been working, and they always helped to build up a dam so the water wouldn't get through.
Where was this at?
Where the river and the rivers and falls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The rivers and falls.
So he came down, and he was supposed to carry this huge, huge club, which would take care of mostly anything. So he came down with his club, and he slew the big beaver and cleaned out the gorge so the water would run off. And then he headed up the Kennebecasis. He got opposite Rossay, and he slung this big club, and that accounts for the split in the rock of the minister's face. And he dived under, and that was the last anybody saw of Glooskap.
Glooskap.
Yeah, that's in the history books.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a book with that in it, and I tried to find it, but I think I gave it to my grandson. He's interested in those things.
Oh.
What did your mom, what did your dad and mom do before
11? My mom, before she was married, worked in a millinery shop, a hat shop, on Union Street. And my dad, he was just a jack of all trades. He worked on a dredge, you know, the digger outer of the bay or harbor. And then he came out here to Rossay and was, well, I would say, started from her father, would be my father's father-in-law, right? No,
hello?
Brother-in-law, brother-in-law. And my grandfather used to cut a bit of ice out of the reservoir, the dam. And he, as a matter of fact, invented an ice cutting machine. And from there, my dad took over the ice cutting business. And I can remember being out there when they marked out huge cuts in the ice with chalk line or something or other and cut out these big huge cakes, and with pipe poles with a hook sort of on the end of it, drug it in so that the men there working could put these big ice grips onto the cake of ice and drag it up out of the water. Sometimes there was 15 or 20 cakes of ice drawn up, and then they would take them all up and into the three big barns, wasn't it, Muriel?
Yeah.
And store them in sawdust. Well, then in the summer, they delivered ice by the cake to people in Rossay and Kinghurst. How far was there back then? Torrey Burn?
Yeah.
When they got, you know, wheels, vehicles, to Gondola Point, down as far as Torrey Burn. Delivered, you know, cakes of ice.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, he was a bit of a farmer and a blacksmith and... what else, Muriel? Deacon of the church?
Some string, he could build anything.
What?
With a piece of hay wire and some string, he could build anything.
Yes, a piece of hay wire and string.
He must have worked for... Did he work for a lot of people in Rossay?
Yes, he worked for the old Governor General McLean in the big, who's there now? Dexter? Dexter's, yeah. The old Governor McLean.
That's right.
And...
Mr. General H.H. McLean.
I can't think of who else was with my dad at the time. But they found a way into the wine cellars.
Oh, no.
And they had themselves a gay old time for a while.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But, and Dr. Addy is another one that sort of rings a bell that my dad worked for. And after they moved from here up to Quispam Cess, they had in the wintertime, in the snow, they didn't have you know, motor vehicles and what have you with plows on them back then, so they used to take the team of horses with this big old wooden V-plow, and they would plow people's driveways and roadways and sidewalks in Rosse. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That house is that Quispam's sister's, the original house at the dam. They moved it up in the wintertime and slid the house that Novello's parents lived in, the Quispam's sister.
Where, what's the address of it?
It used to sit out at the reservoir. This is where
Grandfather
Carpenter moved into a way back as caretaker. Well then, how did it come about? My dad bought the property up there, but the day or so before he was to move into it, the house burned down. So there he was left out in the cold. So they either bought, borrowed, whoever, the old house out of the dam and took it apart in pieces and moved it from there up to Quispam Cess.
Now, what's the address of it, or where about is it? Because I'm not familiar with that.
Just on the other side of the Sobey store. There's a Sobey store and the Catholic hospital, or Catholic, yeah, hospital, burying ground, and the funeral parlor, and the one up on the hill. Shingle. Yeah,
oh.
that's the original house that was out out at the reservoir.
They didn't take it apart, but they moved it as is.
I understood Goldie to say that it was taken apart in pieces and loaded on bobsleds and taken up and...
Two flat sleds side to side. Now this was years ago, remember? We drove it up that way.
The road wouldn't be wide enough to hold. And they must have went from ditch to ditch.
I think that
would take
the whole thing.
Ooh.
When you say Goldie, this isn't Dave Goldie, is it?
No. My brother Golden was named after relatives in the family, Golden Parsons.
Yes, ma'am.
Gessner's. Oh, Golden Gessner. Okay, Muriel. Speaking of old Dave Goldie, now Muriel can tell you one about him, that Art's great aunt,
this is your husband,
Burnside, old Sarah Burnside, was married to Dave Golding. He was the old boy. I think he was in remorse in that he had his horse done in, and the poor old fella took a rope, put it around the limb of the tree, and took his old kitchen table out, hung himself up to the limb of the tree, and kicked the table out from underneath himself. Mm-hmm. That's in Maiden Lane, where Butterfields. Have you run across the name?
I have, and I'm going to speak to them hopefully in the future.
Butterfields? I wonder if there's any ghosts roaming around down there.
I've heard that there's a rumor that they tease of Dave Golding's house of ghosts roaming around that area.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that's possible. That's possible.
What is the story? You could tell me about it.
Is that the one you said?
I don't know any more about that. No.
You don't know about him bringing his old horse up to Uncle Hal, wasn't it?
No.
To do it in? Well, apparently he had brought it up a half a dozen times or more, and he'd change his mind, and then he'd come back and get the horse. Well, then the old horse would be so sick and done in that he'd walk the old horse back, maybe it was out at the dam, and walk the horse back up for somebody to do him in, and this time the old fella didn't come back in time, and somebody took his horse out and shot it. So this must have set the old boy off, and it was after that he apparently hung himself. Yes, oh dear. So there are, now I've never heard that one, tales about Dave Goldie's ghost being around Maiden Lane.
Somebody has told me that in my travels. Teasingly say. Oh, the ghost is there, didn't you know? Can you remember any large, big houses, lost or even small houses, but big fires? Mary?
No, the only big fire I remember is when the Catholic Church burned. And that was up...
How did that burn? What year did that burn about, do you know?
I would say about 1940, somewhere around there.
That was a footpan system, that wasn't it?
That was, well, it was considered part of...
Now it's Fairvale.
Yeah, now it's Fairvale. But apparently there had been painters there and left rags, you know, piled in the corner.
And which church is this now? What's the church name now?
The Lady of Perpetual Health here in Rossay.
I see.
Yeah, yeah. There was a French lady who was our neighbor, naturally Catholic, and apparently when she heard about the fire, it was Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and she down the road, and I don't know how many statues and pieces of the Catholic church that she drug out and took up to her place and salvaged for the Catholic Church.
That's interesting. Okay, do you remember riverboats?
No, dear, I don't remember riverboats.
I don't mean to be insulted, but...
No, well, vaguely, being up to Oak Point. And I don't know if it was the Old Majestic or the Purdy, but it was so far, you know, away, you could just see part of it, you know.
Did you ever hear stories about them or anything about them?
No.
What years did they probably run? Do you know what years they ran?
Oh, Lord.
An estimated. You won't be helped out, too.
70 years ago, 100 years ago even? Yes, must be. Must be, yeah.
Must be horse races on the river New Year's Day.
Tell me, what was this?
Horse races?
Horse races on the river New Year's Day. You know, there were quite a few men around, had race horses and just kept them for such an event. Each New Year's Day, there was a race on the river.
This is here, that's how this stuff, I thought
in the cases.
Oh, wow. And who would be involved with that?
Well, just the
local
men that could afford race horses.
The locals, they would be locals, though, not people who could.
Well, I wasn't old enough to go to them. I would know. I had an uncle who had one. But I remember he called her Nancy. But any more of them, I wouldn't know.
That's an interesting fact, too. Find out more about. Okay, ladies. What do you remember about early days of motoring? Those flat tires that women are driving? The first pavement in the province was from St. John de Rossay, apparently.
Really?
Yes. And some speculation is because it was because of the Prince of Wales visit.
They must have been on the right side of politics.
Well, there you go. I don't know.
Uh-huh. St. John de Rossay. Oh, the Prince of Wales.
Tell me about the Kennedy House and Arthur Kennedy and all the rigmarole that went on there.
Well, I think Muriel is more qualified than I am.
I mean,
she's
around
a bit
longer.
Tell me about that
thing.
The Kennedy House
or
the boarding house?
Oh, well, one summer I was dining room girl at the Kennedy House.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It was very nice. They provided all home-cooked meals for their patrons, and it was a very homey, casual place to be. It was really nice. There was a good feeling among the people. The guests all seemed to be quite compatible. It was really nice.
Yes.
Good homey atmosphere.
Can you describe the building?
Oh, it was quite a huge, I think it had three stories.
Where was the dining room open located? Bottom floor, probably, to work the
fire? Oh, yes, on the dining room and the kitchen, the pantry, and the sitting rooms, and the entrance were all on the lower floor. Had a large veranda. I suppose now they call it a deck.
Yeah, it was a galley.
Yeah, it had nice lawns, nice place to sit out. It was a really cozy atmosphere among the whole place and its patrons.
Okay.
It was well run, too.
What was Arthur Kennedy and his wife like?
Very nice people. She used to be a hairdresser at one time, and then she married Arthur and took over management of the hotel. They're very nice people.
Well, he ran the garage, service station down.
Yeah, they had the service station down back.
And the taxi.
Yeah.
Do you remember Rafa's first fire engine? The chemical one? Okay. Cow grazing on the Rossi Common. That's 40. Fishing and shooting. Camping on the river. Do any of that?
Any fishing?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I love to smell fish. I skated on the river a bit. I heard people mention how they opened their jacket, they got greater velocity if their back was to the wind. I tried it once, and then I was going, oh, real great, and ahead of me I saw this quite a large opening in the river. I don't know, I guess my angel must have been around that day, and I'm sure I never tried it again. But I didn't get a duck in it. I'd have been going yet if I'd have gone under that ice.
That'd be great. Okay. Do either of you remember Jeff Pearson and his blacksmith shop?
Oh, yes, I knew them very well.
What type of people were they? What was his wife like?
They were very nice people. Homely. Friendly with everybody. Knew everybody in the surrounding area for miles around, I'm sure.
Really?
But they were both Kings County people. So it wasn't hard to get to know people in those days. You met them at church or school. And that was it.
Of course, people would come for miles to have their horses' shoes put on, shod, I guess is the right word. And have, what, wedges made for their axes, and
wheels spoked, and rims put on wagons.
His shop was right in the center of town, right across from Netherwood.
Yeah. Which is no longer.
Yeah, which is no longer.
Isn't that a shame?
They're both gone now.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay. Did either of you go to RCS or... Or not RCS, sorry, Netherwood.
Netherwood, no.
Neither of you did.
No.
Okay. Then did you go to the Rossi Consolidated?
I did.
Yeah,
you did both.
Did.
What memories do you have of it?
Oh. It was a great school. We had great supervision.
So you weren't allowed to run for the hall? The halls and you didn't talk back?
No. We had nice baseball teams, softball teams.
Okay.
I played pitcher for a number of years.
Did you?
Yep.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Now, what would be some of the rules or what would be some of the things going on?
Oh, boy, you didn't stand in the hallways. And when recess came, you were out outside. No, you didn't. You thought things about your teacher, but you didn't dare say them.
Mm-hmm.
You had an awful lot of respect for your teacher and your principal. We were put in like two lines in the hallways to get lined up for the old school van, which was either a wagon with a cap, a hood thing over the top, or bobsleds, and you were lined up in the hallways, and you marched correctly, quietly, not hurryingly, out and into each, either a van or the, what was the other one, Muriel? I guess they were both referred to as vans, were they not?
Yes, we didn't get back to some of the
wagons and bobsleds, and then they graduated from them to a bus, a school bus. Yeah. Yeah. And you sat at your desk and you ate your lunch, and when you were finished, it was your lunchbox and whatever leftovers were put back into it and taken home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who were some of your favorite, or at least some people you remember strongly as teachers?
As teachers? Miss McMurray.
Who taught you?
Who taught me in grade one.
Mm-hmm.
And a Miss Dightman.
Grade two.
Grade two.
Miss Cato in grade three.
No, it was... I didn't like too much Marjorie Monteith.
Oh,
Mr. Who?
Mielek. I think he was from Hampton. He was the principal.
Yeah, he was.
You had respect for Mr. Mielek. And,
Respect or fear?
A little bit of both.
It's the same today.
Yes, and then there was a VA. What was his name, Uriel?
I don't know. That was after me.
Yes, they lived up there at Fairvale.
I have different teachers.
George? Was
well,
it George VA?
George VA? Puker?
That's who I asked, Puker B.A., who was there for a while. Oh, yeah. And a Mr. Robinson from Hampton. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Had a dimple of Clefton's chin here.
Mm-hmm.
Which one had the cleft?
B.A.
Now, what were your teachers,
Muriel? Miss McMurray, Miss Dightman, Miss Kale. I had Mabel Smith for 3 or 4 years from Hampton, and Ted Patstone, you know who he is, I think, probably.
I've heard of him.
And C.T. Whitmore.
That was your principal, isn't it? Okay. Did you have school colors?
School colors?
Red and white.
Red and white. Mm-hmm.
Is that not the same as what was mother was doing as this? Could be exactly similar. Maybe just the style was different. What types of things would you do in your classroom on the run of the day? I know you stretched by your seat instead of having gym.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the top left-hand corner would be the people who were having the higher marks. That's it? Of the class, they would get to sit in the front?
I suppose.
No.
Not at my time.
No? Oh, I heard somebody say that when they went to school, the people at the very front to the, I think it was left corner,
yeah,
would have the higher marks and it would go right down the line. It would give you motivation. It was probably one teacher who would build it, though. What type of desks would you have? Would you use a slate? Or would you use paper?
No, I used the slate when I first started school and then graduated into books, but the old squeaky, smelly rags and slates and sponges and slate pencils that, you know, when you drag a pencil pointed across the a slate with a bye. No, you mostly sat there.
No, you've been writing in arithmetic.
And
how would you be? What was the marking system like for?
Well, so much out of 100, you either made 25 out of 100, or 50 out of 100, or 90 out of 100. Yeah.
Okay, now we were talking about the school and your memories of it. Tell me a bit about old bows, or maybe that's not a good thing.
Old bows.
Or old, you know, just funny things that went on, or anything like that you can think of.
Not really, but one in particular, Marie Duffy. From up at Model Farm, I used to stand, mouth hanging open, in that she could slug a baseball from where? Next to the new building, which used to be the Sobey store, clean across and over and into the commons.
Could she?
Yes. Wham! And it would go forever.
She was amazing.
Yes, amazing.
So she was important to the baseball team, I guess.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Well, that's interesting.
But not too many funny things.
What would be things that teachers would do that either irritate you or you liked, but you remember?
Oh, God, I can remember standing, leaning over the banister on the second floor of the school down there, well, the old school, and disliking a couple of teachers and trying to spit on their heads as they went down the next flight of stairs. Rotten kid, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't ever remember connecting, though.
Water bombs weren't invented then.
What?
Water bombs weren't invented.
No, water bombs weren't invented then. No.
What about drills? Were there any drills that you used to have to go over?
Oh, there was a fire drill. There was a fire drill, and that was about all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, just a fire drill.
We never had any fires.
No, we had cadets, though, when the war was on.
Tell me about the cadets.
The boys had their boy cadets, and the girls through Mr. Who? Mr. Ingersoll. And what was the other teacher's name? Oh, dear, it was right in the tip of my tongue. But anyway, yes, we learned the same drills as what the Army cadets did. The Laird in Hampton. Oh, dear, I can't think of his first
Earl.
Name. Earl the Laird. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And I can't remember just around what date it would be. It was in the 40s. That we joined RCS in a march from RCS down the hill and up to, where did we go to? The Church of England Church, I believe. But us being girls and not marching in the same, how shall I say, speed as what the boys were, I must admit that we were sort of tailgating quite a ways back behind the boys. Yeah, but now we had navy blue skirts and white blouses and black ties. And I would say that most of the girls were from grade 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah.
from these cadets.
Did you ever go to Guy's?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. What kind of funny things would go on there? What would you do?
Well, not for very long, just for a short period of time. Oh, we used to...
Who was your teacher?
One of the Mackay girls, Hope Mackay, and Betty Mortimer. And we used to go on, they call them search parties.
Scavenger hunts?
Not really scavenger hunts. It was to make you more aware of the signs and whatnots, you know, going through the woods or a field, in that some branches would be broken off, or grass would be, you know, trampled down where people had, you know, as if you were looking for something, a treasure hunt maybe. And I learned quite a bit about nature and trees and different leaves and the different softwood trees. Oh, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you remember Dr. Peters very well?
Yes, yeah, quite well.
What was he like? Or what did he do? What types of things would he treat?
Anything and everything. From head lice to miscarriages to what? Delivering babies. Traveling across the ice in his old horse, John Pung. And wasn't it Muriel at one time that he delivered twins or such to somebody over in Kingston?
I don't know. I think he delivered the first twin in Rossville. And it's the Star Wars, I think.
Oh, could very well be, yeah.
What about Indians at Sandy Beach? Don Nick, Nellie Francis, Laughing Louie, Frankie Francis. Do you know any of them?
At Sandy Beach.
Well, I guess, well, there's been some debate about that. I guess down more where Lowood area passed down. Do you remember them?
Yeah. But they weren't down there. They were more up.
No, Valerie. That's Nellie a different Francis. Bunch of Indians. That's
what?
Different Indians.
No, Nellie Francis and her son, Frankie. Now, this is, you know, in my time. Lord knows where they were before. Down on Kitty McLaughlin's property.
Well, before that, she used to be down around Sandy Beach.
Oh, okay.
And Dominic was a hunchback.
That's right.
And, Laughing Louie was a great big huge man, and I was so scared of him. We didn't get legged around by them. We walked to and from, and when I would turn the corner and come up this way, if I saw either of the Indians coming down the hill, I would take off there where George McAvity's house is,
And
come straight home through the woods, me a little kid.
Oh.
I had no fear of the woods, whatever. That was a safe place for me, away from the Indians. I never dreamt they might come in or anything, but I just had to get, you know, there's no way I would pass them on the road. We have heard such fierce tales of what Laughing Louie would do to you and Dominic.
But it was all story.
It wasn't true. No, none of it was true, but, you know.
Kids to tease.
Yeah. But it was enough for me. I, made for the woods every time. But back of the house where we lived, a few years after that, there were bobcats caught. And right down here, there was a whole bunch of bears, you know, where they built the new houses.
Uh-huh.
And they hosted a lot of bears down there just the last few years. And nobody ever saw those things.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be true. If they see you first, you don't see them because they saw enough of me, I'm sure.
That's right, yeah.
But I had no fear whatever. and just I would go way in there and straight up and come out back of my own house just as if I was a bird.
Tell me about, were you ever, do you recall or either heard stories about people being on Long Island? And other people, I guess 40s, I may be wrong, 45 or 48 houses were on Long Island at one time.
People being on Long Island, oh yes.
Didn't the Mathers people?
No, they weren't on the island.
Who were all the people on the island?
Jordan, Johnny Jordan. And I can't tell you anymore, that's the only name I remember.
What years would they have been on the island?
But they, well, they were farmers. And I know people used to go over there and hire on and help them cut hay. I know people used to go over there and hunt. Consequently, they visit this old John.